If one of you can get the website up and the pictures, Beth, that would be great. But they return home on Saturday. They've been doing crusades. They've held a conference for pastors and indigenous leaders. And so God is just pouring through the team. I love the song that Josh and the team led this morning, talking about setting our hearts ablaze, or blaze, spirit, blaze. And, you know, catch the nations on fire, that they all would come to know you. And I keep thinking that's our Moe's team right now. They're doing just that. They are the hands and feet of Jesus right now. So if we can just continue to lift them up, that would be awesome. This is, if we could dim the sconces a little bit, but this is what we do in several places that we go, is we typically set up a projector and set up a screen to show a Jesus film, which really is just the life of Jesus and what he, you know, died on the cross. And so we get to go into a lot of villages doing this, where you might have a group of 1,400 people show up, or maybe just 100, but God it uses it powerfully. So the good people of Harmony Church enjoying the Magdalena film, and Magdalena is another film about the life of Magdalena. Go to the next one. So this is fun. Oh, look how much fun they're having. I miss it. This is our dance team, and it looks like some people have joined them for a competition. And so it's really all fun. All of them usually get, like, the women get a capilana. The men might get, like, a belt or a hat or something. A capilana is a traditional wrap that the women in Mozambique wear around their waist. So it's fun. Many of us in this church have those. You can go to the next one. Dance competition participants receive the prizes, hats or belts for the men, and capilanas for the ladies. So they love it. Their faces light up, and usually they don't get to receive new things like this. And so when you get, like, these bright capilana colors, their eyes, like, the women are like, I want that one, or I want that one. So it's really fun. We can go to the next one. This is Pastor Mary Pat, who is glowing right now, and there's a few other team members, Amanda and Tiana. There she is again, preaching with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Bless her, Lord. Thank you for more fire this week in Jesus' name. Increase it, Lord. The Holy Spirit miraculously healed these mamas, and they came forward to rejoice and testify in the Lord. The Holy Spirit moved powerfully in this village. That is some joy right there. Pastor Mary Pat with the Pastora Isabel of Harmony Church in the village's Queen Elsa. All right. The team encountered several rainbows on the way to Maputo, a sign of God's promises for Mozambique. Be praying that in this week, because that's prophetic. As if you're an intercessor and you're praying over the team. Nearly 200 people gather at Mashava's Assembly of God Church to watch the Jesus film. Don't always have chairs, so they have chairs. This is great. Look at that. Men and women alike consider Troy's strong call for salvation. Troy is preaching the gospel. He has four boys here with his wife Rachel here, rooting him on while he's in Mozambique. Hey, Troy, go to the next one. Team members of the Sunshine Iris Soccer Academy, CISA, pose for a photo before a playoff soccer match. So there's Pastor Jose on the left, and here they are again, Pastor Jose Novella, the founder and director of this, and Pastor Mary Pat, at-risk youth that are brought in, and they get to play soccer. The young men of CISA receive their new soccer balls and soccer shoes with joy and grateful hearts. Thank you for all of you that have donated soccer balls and shoes. These guys are torn up, their feet come through, they're playing in sand, and they get new stuff that we donated. So this is awesome. So this must be the conference. At the pastor's conference at Iris and Peitu, Pastor Mary Pat exhorts the crowd to go out and preach the gospel, and people respond. The Holy Spirit touching the hearts of young women at Iris and Peitu. Yes, Lord, it's a lot of people filling that place. At the pastor's conference at Zimpetu, nearly everyone came forward to be commissioned to preach the gospel and receive fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit. Do it, Lord. This is day two of the revival conference in Meshava, Assembly of God. The team receives a larger crowd than the prior night. And that's very typical to have a bigger crowd the second night. That's why we usually go back twice and then more miracles. And you can go to the next one if there's... Denny is one of our team members, and he gives an anointed salvation call following the drama, and five young men respond. Yes, Lord. New family members. Pastor Mary Pat gives an invitation to receive fresh fire from the Holy Spirit, and virtually everyone stands up to receive. So, great anointing when people respond that way. It's amazing. The hearts of the little ones were also being touched by the Lord. All the little kids see that? Little younger guys and little girls in Mozambique being touched by the Lord. Several mamas come forward to testify of miraculous healings. And this is Pastor Mary Pat preaching at us during a Sunday morning Meshava Assembly of God service about the faith of the centurion and the call to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think there's a theme. He's raising up sons and daughters. Pastor Mary Pat invites those with a heart full for evangelism to run to the front to receive fresh fire from the Holy Spirit to go out and preach. Yeah. Fire. Yes, Lord. A young man responds with an open heart to the call for evangelism. He has a tear just running down his eye. Yes, Lord. A beautiful move of the Lord as many people's hearts were touched, healed, and set free by the fiery love of the Holy Spirit. And this is back at the beginning. We shared this 2 weeks ago with They Received Gifts. And if you'd like to go back and you weren't here two Sundays ago, feel free to look at those updates and some of those pictures. There's lots more up there, and there'll be more throughout the week. We'll share on Tuesday night if you can come out. And then the team will be here on Sunday sharing, and that is always so much fun to receive. Oh, and there's a video too. Well, they're getting that.
Oh, it's ready. Here we are on our land on the sea near Masiani in the Gaza province of Mozambique, and we're so excited today. Something great is happening. Before we actually build, there has been other steps that we've had to take. So the government people are here today, and they are finalizing all things, checking our markers, and finalizing all paperwork. So we're very excited about that. And I want to show you the sea itself. It's beautiful. It's just gorgeous. And this is the time when we're actually taking steps forward. We're so excited. We're at the top of the sand dune that typically we have to climb, which is an amazing feat. Today we walked around with government people, but usually we climb up, and there's such a gorgeous view here. The vision for what the Lord has and wants to do here is so big. It's so wonderful. And we thank you for partnering with us, for sharing in that vision, for celebrating the hope we have to complete this project. And we're ready to start building. We're ready to dig in that sand and get the buildings up so we can do what we're called to do. So we praise God for you and for all that the Lord's doing. We celebrate today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And if you're interested in donating to some of these things like CISA or the Mozambique Land Project, you can find that on the tithing cards on the back of your seat. Or if you're not a frontline global partner, it's a way to partner with some of these things that God's doing in the earth. Just a reminder that there's healing rooms this Friday, and there's also Edge Bible Study this coming Saturday for young adults, high school, college age, 20-somethings, early 30-somethings. If you're young at heart. And then also to mark your calendars, I believe Pastor Bill will speak more about this, but Friday, if you could just mark your calendars for Friday, August 10th to Sunday, August 12th, something fun and new God's doing in our region in Stark County. There's something called Revive Stark. And so there's going to be information following the service and that Pastor Bill has as well. And then just a reminder for parents with kids that are in Green Light Missions that on Friday, August 17th to the Saturday is going to be a local mission trip that the kids do. A Sunday, okay, so the 19th, Sunday the 19th. If you want more information about that, we don't have the brochures out necessarily. Many of you have been reached out to already. So there will be one. They're not out there now. Okay, so we'll make sure that they're out there for you. And but you can speak to Rachel Larson and then Lauren Sliptak as well, which he'll be here in the next week. And Relentless Pursuit Conference is coming up. Look at the brochure. There's some fun stuff. And our Young Adult Weekend, which is going to be called Seismic. Our Seismic Retreat is going to be Friday, October 6th to Sunday, October 28th. So I just feel like we should lift up the Mozambique team together. Father, we just thank you for the Moz team. We thank you for what you're doing through them, Lord. We thank you for the lives that are coming into the kingdom, the ones that aren't even seen in the pictures, God. There's so much more. A camera can only capture so much, and a video camera can only take footage of so much, Lord. There's so much happening, Lord, that we're grateful for it, and we just continue to press through for our team, for their health, for your provision, for your favor over each and every single one of them when they lie their heads down at night, that they receive sweet sleep and rest and dreams from you, God, that would just propel them and ignite them as they wake up, Father, that you would continue to anoint them with fresh fire, fresh anointing from you, God, Lord, that you would amplify their giftings, Lord, that they would step into them into the fullness, Lord, at every place that they go, every village, Lord. Thank you for your protection, God, and thank you for these beautiful, beautiful lives, Lord, that you have appointed for them to meet, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to, Lord. And we just thank you for a multitude of souls coming into the kingdom during this next week. Father, we just rally around them, Lord, and we thank you for your fire as a wall around them, Lord, and every place that they go, and just the provision for the CESA Soccer Academy and for the Land on the Sea, all these things that you're doing, Lord, you began them, and you're faithful to complete that which you've begun, Lord. So we thank you for your provision, and we just bless you, and we honor you for these miracles and salvations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Time for Kingdom Kids. Always think the adults are going to go back there. I want to be in Kingdom Kids. Well, as you can see, our Mozambique team is doing quite well. They've been in and out of the base in Zimpeto. They go in, they do some preaching at a conference or whatever, and then they go back out to the bush. So they'll keep going with that type of ministry right up until the end when they fly out. Be here on Saturday. As you can hear from the announcement, there's quite a bit coming up here as well, and we'll get into that after we pray. Father, we thank you, God. We're here, and you were here first, waiting for us. You don't want to attack us. You don't want to come and jump on us. Father, you want to influence our hearts. Lord, you want to draw us in. You want to bring us close. So we'll hear your heart for other people. We'll hear your heart for us. God, we submit to that today. Go ahead, draw us in. Draw your children in. And may we respond by drawing close to you. Lord God, you're here to change us, to move in us, to work in us. God, we hear these words all the time, but it's true this morning, as it is at other times. You want to touch our lives. You want to change us from the inside out. You want to use us. Father, we thank you for the Mozambique team. We pray that your peace will be with them, your protection, your provision. Thank you, God, that no one that I know of has been sick. That means divine healing has been all over them like we've been praying. I've heard that no one's been injured. That means divine protection. You as the strong tower has been surrounding them. Father, we take that for granted here, but we need it as well. We need divine healing. We need the strong tower of your protection around us. All 700 names and titles. God, we pray that they will finish strong. God, that you will inspire them to even go above and beyond what they've done before to reach out to precious Mozambicans, God. And many will come into your kingdom. Many will be saved and healed and delivered. God, we don't take that for granted. It should be fresh and new to us each time. Saved, lives coming into the kingdom. Healed, Jehovah Rapha, you touching people to end the hindrance of sickness or disease or a condition in their lives so that they can come close to you and serve you full-heartedly and not be concentrating on some physical malady. And Father, deliverance, that you attack the enemy, you kick him in the teeth, and we let you do it, and we cooperate with that, and we watch demons flee from the lives of people in Mozambique that live with witch doctors, God, in their villages. Lord Jesus, deliver them. Deliver them this week at the various outreaches, God. Deliver them, God. Save them, heal them. We give you praise, Lord. Do the same here. Do the same here in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a lot of things coming up. You heard about the dates for Revive Stark. The next date on the calendar for Revive Stark is actually August 4th and August 5th. They have training times for the outreach. August 4th is 9 o'clock. That's a Saturday. August 5th is probably the one I'll go to, which is on a Sunday night, 6 o'clock. So that's coming up. That's just 2 weekends, I think, away, if I'm right. I think so. So that's the training for the outreach that they'll be doing in Louisville, that hopefully many of us will be doing in Louisville, and when the team gets back, they'll join us with that. Reaching out on the streets, you'll hear more information, but you should have received one of these when you came in the door, so read that over, see if you have any questions. Did everybody get one of these? If somebody didn't, raise your hand so someone can get you one. Okay, the other thing coming up even sooner, and that's for men. We don't usually have a lot of men-only events in this fellowship, but this is hosted by another group called Game Changers. I have more information today than I had before, and I think I sent it to most of your emails. So maybe Angela can pass it out just so that we'll have it available right up close and personal. It's on August 1st, and remember, we are inviting a man or more than one to go hear 4 Hall of Famers for the Hall of Fame. It's actually held at Umstead Performing Arts Hall, which is near McKinley High School and near the Hall of Fame. They come for a dinner. They come for a presentation, a dinner, and they can go to the Hall of Fame afterwards. Next year, we're hoping they do NASCAR, but this year it's the Hall of Fame. So I have some tickets that I purchased online for those that you have, people that you have in mind that you want to invite. And then we can work it out as to whether you pay me for these or I donate it to you, depending on what your heart is in that. But there are tickets available today. So if you have a couple of guys that you want to talk to, it's better to have a ticket in hand and show it to them. So remember, I have those at the end of the service because you're going to forget all about it because of the message. The message is going to be so world-changing in your life, you'll forget about the tickets. So don't forget. Here they are. See them? They're printed so that you can give them to your guy and invite him to come. And we also have a revised sheet that you can give them that shows the Hall of Famers on the sheet. It doesn't have some of the information it had before, so that you can give that out to them. So we will pass this out to men. Men, please. So August is going to be a big month. July has been a big month, with the team being in Mozambique. So be sure and show up on Tuesday night for Fire and Wind. What is it? Boy, that sounded like a spark in a breeze. Fire and wind. Wind of the Holy Spirit. Fire of the Holy Spirit. We need to say it with a little bit of fire. Amen? Oh yeah, there's a strong amen. Okay. You're really encouraging today. Here we go. Remember, there's less of us, so we've got to say it out, you know, with a little bit of vigor. Amen?
Amen?
Wow, that almost sounded like Africa. Good. That's good, because they're enthusiastic. Okay, I'm not sure I have all the announcements out of the way, but I believe I do. So, Beth, did you get my quote? Wow. We're in communication. I think we'll show the quote and go from there. Wow, look at that. Right over the top of it, even. I was just wanting the graphic. Over the top. Wow. There is no rest apart from the presence of God. Let that sink in for a moment. All the people going on vacation this summer, they come back and they, you know, they're not too rested. It's not that they shouldn't take a vacation. It's fun. But a lot of times they come back kind of tired out. That because there's no rest apart from the presence of God. There is true rest only in an intimate relationship with Him. You can get a little dabble, do you, by being in the presence of God. You know, you can get a little dabble, do you, from the worship this morning. Little rest. Oh, that felt good. Oh, that sounded good. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that... You can go to alive and become alive, you know, with a little bit of the worship. Yeah, oh, that feels good. But if you don't carry it, if you don't receive it from His presence continually, then it's only a nap. It's not rest. I got one giggle. Okay. It's only a nap. It's not rest. There is no better rest than fullness of joy. Yesterday, I was feeling a little bit blah. Pastor Mary Pat's gone. A lot of fired up people are gone. Not a lot of people are calling me up saying, "Hey, how you doing? What's going on?" I just had a blah few hours yesterday. And then I talked to my wife in Mozambique. "Oh, this is going on, and that's going on, and oh man, we did this, and I spoke with such power. It's a whole new," she does this every trip, "but whole new level of power." And I believe it every time. Because when she comes back, she's up one more notch. And I have to try to catch up to that. And I started to tell her in my heart, "I'm feeling blah." And she said, "I'm concerned for you." What you need to do, see, I was only going to tell you one part of this, but I just feel inspired, you know. I wasn't going to tell you the whole thing, see. I was just going to tell you, she indicated I should go soak in the presence of God, you know. She gave me that message. But I decided to give you a little bit of the background. I was feeling blah. I don't know if anyone can identify at any time in your life. And she was all fired up. You know, that's the opposite end of the spectrum. And sometimes that can offend us when someone's so fired up. We're like, okay, tone it down just a notch or two or maybe 12. This, you're too much. You're over the top. You're talking radical. You're talking change the world. I'm barely making it through the pile. But instead of reacting to that, I tried to drink some of that in. And then she said, I think you need to go soak in the presence of God. Now, this is one pastor telling another pastor. You know, you kind of go, you know, first it rises up and you go, I knew that. That's what rises up first. I'm just being honest with you. But I was able to choke that one. You know, you can choke those thoughts. You don't have to let all that rise up and become a problem. You can choke it. And I decided to listen. This is my iron sharpening iron, but I'm a little bit dull yesterday. And so I took her indication, and later on, I spent some time in the presence of the Lord with Julie True. I wasn't alone anymore. Julie was right there singing over me, to me, around me. I turned on Alexa, my other friend. And Julie came out of Alexa, and Alexa and Julie, they sang to me a duet together. It's awesome. So I immediately had two friends because of my wife's suggestion. And they were encouraging. And I listened to the words, and I was going to do a whole bunch of other things, and I just said, no, I'm going to continue with this. So I let it go on for a while, and I forgot to do those other things. And then I kind of fell asleep. And I slept well because I was rested because of the soaking in God's presence. There's no rest like his presence. There's no rest like fullness of joy. And I woke up today with a whole new vigor. And then I see the sun shining. I didn't notice it yesterday. I noticed it today. And I said, you know, I'm ready for these people, whoever walks through the door today. I'm ready to give them a little bit of fullness of joy. I'm ready to give them a little bit of beating on the drums with vigor. Because they might need some rest as well. Some real rest, true rest. You know, when we're in the battle, we need a lot of rest. If it's just a battle against life, yeah, we get tired. But if it's a battle in the spirit, it really wipes you out. An emotional battle, a spiritual battle will wipe you out far more than, you know, working in the garden or cleaning the house. Because it affects every part of you. Soul, body, and spirit. Spirit can't rise up when it's being kept down by emotional issues or spiritual issues or just a lack of joy. Blah. We can't let our spirit rise up. But that's part of what the presence of God does. It releases our spirit to rise up, and the Holy Spirit springing up like a fountain inside of us isn't quenched, isn't held back. I want more of that. I hope you do. Because you're going to hear more and more of that over the years here. Whether it's from me or someone else, they're going to come up and they're going to say, you need more of the presence of God. And you hear that enough, and it's like, oh, they say that all the time. I don't even know what that means. Maybe it's time. I can remember in Ghana, Africa, where we taught them on soaking. We take a sponge, and we put it in water, and the sponge soaks up the water, and we squeeze it, and we said, that's what soaking is in God's presence. You just get it all, overflow. I mean, it drips off the sponge when you pull it out of the bucket and then you squeeze it and it just... That's what we want to do with allowing God to affect us. Not just get a little wiggle or a giggle. We want to have His full presence affect our hearts. And that usually takes some time in His presence. So we call that soaking. Often we leave prayer out of it other than maybe just saying, come Holy Spirit, speak to me, touch me, move in me, give me that rest. And then we just allow Him to speak to us. We encounter Him. We put on some worship music like Julie or the Rivieras or someone. And we just drink in those words and let them affect us. Have we forgotten? This is revisiting that. When we first opened the doors here in 2005, it wasn't long after that, we had a soaking conference. And we became a soaking site because of our trips to Toronto. They were offering that to places. Years later, they checked back with us and said, are you still a soaking center? We said, yes. They said, oh, great. Most of them have closed up. Most of them aren't soaking centers anymore. That we gave them the piece of paper and said, you're a soaking center. We had them go through the qualifications. It might be time to revitalize that here in our fellowship. So if they call us again, we can say, yes, we're still soaking. We're still in God's presence. We're still taking that time out. You know, there is a time here on Tuesdays, but some people are having a hard time getting here on Tuesdays. Now, I understand there are reasons, and very good ones. I've heard them, so that's okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you have your schedule open and you fill it with something else, when there are opportunities for soaking and there's extra worship and so on. Just that little indication from Dad here. It might be time to review. Let's see. Am I really trying to enter into God's presence? Here's some opportunities with other people. But enough of that. Reviewing the thing I said about Africa was we put out black bags, just trash bags. Or sometimes we could find a big black piece of plastic. Now, it's hot in Africa. It is early morning when we do this. We take a sound box out, we put on worship music. And we invite the people to come to the black plastic. Now, the first time we did this, we didn't even know if anybody would show up on the black plastic. I mean, it just sounded weird. Come over to the black plastic and encounter God. I mean, that sounds weird. We're going to put on some music and you're going to meet with God on this black plastic. But they all came out of their tents because we kind of set up a little village on our land in order to have them do the Kingdom Bible School for 5 or 6 days. And they came out of their tents. They came out from where they were cooking, many of them. What they were doing in their morning, which is often washing clothes and things like that. And they came and they laid on this black plastic underneath this tree. We at least gave them a tree for shade. And so we offered the microphone to them. How did you encounter God? What did God say to you? Did you have a picture, a vision? Some of you fell asleep. Did you have a dream? You were in such peace, such rest, you fell asleep. Did God speak to you in your rest? And the people came up. Now remember, many of them are dealing with demons. So you would hear first kind of the presence of God through the presence of a demon. And it wouldn't be that pure. Okay? That's just being honest. It wouldn't be that pure. But they've got 5 more days to go at Kingdom Bible School. So we're not too shook up about it. But the ones that had some freedom in their life, they would get up and talk about encounters in heaven. Children would get up and talk about angels and other things. They would talk about certain things out of the Bible they were not taught before. God was giving them revelation as they spent time in his presence. Maybe it's time to revisit some of that for us. We have dreams and visions that come into our email box almost weekly from some people, but it's available to all people. Why wouldn't I want, as a pastor in this place, to have all of you experiencing all of what God has to give? Now, does that mean that you get in God's presence if you don't get something? Oh, he didn't want to talk to you. Maybe he just wanted you to have peace. Many years ago, the first time I think I was at Toronto. It might have been the first time. Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. The Toronto Blessing. We went up there to check it out. Is this real? Is this powerful? We'd heard good things. It was even better than what we heard. So they had these lines in the carpet in this place. Oh, well, okay. That's pretty cool. But what they did was they put people in lines behind the lines. They were kind of the markers. And they had hundreds and hundreds of people lined up just to receive a touch from the Lord. So I was at the front of the line. One of the lines. And I'm like, okay, God, this was, remember, many years ago. Okay, I'm here. I don't know what's going to happen here, but I think just being here for a short time, I can tell this is a place where something could happen. Somebody touches me. But, you know, God, I don't usually react like that. I don't usually, you know, get a wiggle, or I don't usually hit the floor, so what are you going to do with me? So I see this guy start down the line. He's just touching the first person. Not all of them. Not all of them in the line. He's just touching the first person. Here's the line in front of them and the line behind the line. And he's just touching, and that person goes down. And the next one, you know, just stands there. And the next one goes down. And I thought, well, he's way down there. It'll take him a while to get to me. God, I just think I'm probably going to be like that second guy. I probably just won't go down. I'm talking to God, you know. And so I said, so, you know, and I closed my eyes. And I'm like, you know, I don't know. What would it be like to actually feel your presence in that way and someone touching you and trying to give you? And I'm discussing this all with God. I know none of you ever did that or have ever done that. But I did that. And while I'm discussing this with God, the guy comes and touches me. And I go completely out. And I'm, you know, they have catchers. I'm caught and I'm laid on the ground, but I don't even know it. And I wake up in such peace. It was overwhelming peace. I didn't have any visions. Didn't have any dreams. I didn't hear God speak love to me on that particular occasion. I have since. I just felt this overwhelming peace. And I was like, okay, you answered all my questions. I didn't know what this was about, but for me, I can see if they ask me to give a testimony, it's going to be on peace. Because that's what I'm experiencing. And there were testimonies. I wasn't one of the ones that was chosen, or however they did it back then, don't even remember, but there were a number of people who went up and gave their testimonies, and there were a few about peace, and there were some about, I saw this, and God spoke to me this way, and all different kinds of things that God had given to people. Guess what? He wants to do that with us again. More. And maybe through me, you can hear Pastor Mary Peck speaking from Mozambique. How about spending some time in God's presence and with some worship music, or just letting him speak love over you. Letting him give you that rest that he wants to give. We've had a lot of challenging messages in the last few months. A lot. Most of them are about dying to ourselves. You can't die to yourself unless you have some help from the presence of God. I think we mentioned that as well. You can't just go, I'm going to die to myself. You sound like Peter, and I sound like Peter if we say that. Our boasting, our big charge for God will be worthless without being affected by the presence of God. Some of us don't even want to say those words. Before I met Pastor Mary Pat, I was afraid to say certain things to God, commit certain things to God. Because I thought, I won't ever follow through with it. Why even commit to it? And then I met her. Everything she committed to, she did. I was like, how is that possible? How's this woman doing that? She commits to something, and she follows through with it. Well, I had been running on bill power, and she was running on Holy Spirit power. And it was a big difference. A big difference. So I wanted more of that Holy Spirit power. And she influenced my life. So when I see her up there on the screen taking Africa, I'm not too surprised. Even after all these years, it doesn't surprise me that she has continued to be on fire and after God's presence, because she relies on her times with him. They may be short, they may be long, but she relies on that. And she encourages her husband at times. And hopefully I encourage her at times. Probably less times than she encourages me. But that's okay. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When was the last time you felt your burden was light? What's it take? Just recognizing it? Or does it take listening to his invitation? Come to me. We kind of go past that real quick. Come to me. Come, hang out with me. Come, spend time with me. Come, be with me. Come, soak with me. Come, lay on the floor with me. Come, listen to Julie True with me through Alexa or some other player. Siri. I don't know. Whoever does that stuff. iTunes. Your tunes, everybody's tunes. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. How do we exalt in all these different countries? How do we get there? How do we keep going there? How do we keep going in evangelism, which seems to be a theme in Mozambique, as Jamie pointed out? It's being still in his presence. You don't get to these places and continue to go there unless you are washed in his presence. Because some of the things need to be washed out of our hearts, don't they? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We've got to let him wash us in his presence. And that means you better do it quick, because there's so many distractions and the enemy wants to make sure they hit home. Be still and know that I am God. And it ends with going to the nations. Intimacy before ministry. We learned that from Heidi Baker. Intimacy before we're going to be effective in the nations. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Who makes the first move? Well, he did, by providing all of this for us. But then we are to draw near to him. Draw near to the king. Come into the throne room. Present ourselves. Here I am. I need what you have to give. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, I smile when I say that. Cleansing is good. Purifying is good. If we've been in a situation where we sin, we can be cleansed. We can be purified. If we're double-minded, look at that. Sinning and being double-minded are just as much of a problem. Our mind on everything else other than Jesus. That's a problem, according to this passage. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Make the move. Let's make the move. Let's listen to that indication from Pastor Mary Pat in Mozambique. Soak in his presence. Spend time with him. Get your fire back by being with the fiery one. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Again, we're to come into the throne room, to the throne of grace, to find mercy with our high priest. You know, there's another place you're supposed to go to church. It's the throne room. That's where the high priest is, Jesus. We're supposed to go to that church, not just this church. Be in church with the high priest, the highest of priests, Jesus. Spend some time with him in the throne room of grace, that we can obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Anyone have any needs? Just checking. Any needs here? Anybody got any needs? Oh, no needs today? Wow. We can shut down early. No needs. Oh, no needs. Wow. What a great Sunday morning. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Which seems continual, doesn't it? Time of need. It's all the time. So all these things lead us to listen to his invitation to come. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. What are we going to find when we get there? Well, that's where Joel 2 and Acts 2 come in, right? Dreams and visions and pictures and all kinds of things he wants to give to us when we encounter him. It's not just draw near to God and you'll get there and then nothing will happen. Draw near to God and you're in his presence and don't feel a thing. If that happens, press in a little longer. Press in a little further in. Remember at the temple there were
outside courts, inner courts. There was the court for the Gentiles, which was outside, and kept progressively getting to the one place that only one person could go in once a year, the high priest. You're that person now, but you can do it any time. That's the privilege. It used to be for one person, one time, one over 1 year, could go into the Holy of Holies. And now you're that person. I said, you're that person that can draw right into his presence. And the promises are there. You're going to have dreams. You're going to have pictures, visions. You're going to have life-transforming events. Has that ever happened to you? If not, you've got a lot to look forward to. If it has happened to you once or twice, hey, it's going to happen a whole lot more if you press into his presence, if you press into the throne room, if you go to church, the real church. You can even go to that church while you're at this church. Right now. Just close your eyes. It's okay. I'll let you. You don't have to look at me. Look at God. Respond to him. Listen to him. One of the first things I remember him telling me, I mean, he told me things when I didn't know anything about this entering in, and I didn't recognize it till after. Oh, yeah, he was speaking to me back there. Okay. Oh, he was speaking to me back there. But it wasn't until I entered in to his presence in a full way that I recognized he had been speaking to me a number of times in my life. But one of the first things I remember in the whole new phase of understanding that he actually was going to talk to me and anticipating it, he said, I love you. That's simple. I love you. I love you. I love you. He would just repeat it. And I was overcome. Oh, didn't I hear the song when I was a little kid? Jesus loves me, yes, I know, for the Bible. I knew that. I knew Jesus loved me. I knew Jesus loved me. Song after song after song after scripture after people telling me from Sunday school on up. Everyone told me Jesus loved me. No one ever said, Jesus doesn't love you. He just doesn't love you. Jesus doesn't love you. Never happened. But when he said it, and I heard it in my spirit, wow. I'm still going on that years later. I'm still activated by that. That's still some of the fuel in my life to hear that from him. And I know he wants to say it to you, and don't be surprised if it's one of the first messages that he gives to you if you're not used to this in soaking. He'll say, I love you. He won't say, oh, the enemy's eating your lunch, man. I mean, he may tell you that later. But he first has to get you used to the fact that he loves you so much that he and you can be a team and a warrior team together. And you can kick the enemy in the teeth. And you can kick life's problems in the teeth. And you can see healing in your life. Emotional, physical, all kinds of healing. Most of you know that Pastor Mary Pat and I have been healed from malaria. I've had an ankle healed without surgery, broken in three places. All these different healings. But the most amazing ones to me are the ones in this season. Some of you might have noticed I'm a little bit older now. However, every time I start to get an ache or pain. I go after it. I don't accept it. So if I get one in my foot, my knee, my leg, my arms, I mean, this is what you hear at this stage of life from people. I've got the aches and pains, you know, and everyone's supposed to go, yeah, I know what you mean. I can't tell them that. Because when I get one, I go after it as if it was malaria. I go after it as if it was a broken ankle in three spots. Now, am I mad at those that don't? No, I don't understand why he takes these things away from me. I love it. But it's a surprise and a shock and wonderful and all that at the same time. And I expect it sometimes. And other times I'm, oh, that's right, you do take these away. I'll get an ache in my back and the enemy will come and he'll say, you know, this is going to last. People like this, they get surgeries. People like this, this happens to them. And, you know, they can't ever get over it. And they just live their whole life in pain. They need to be on meds. And you can stop now. Jesus is Jehovah Rapha. He revealed that name to us because that's who he is. He can't be anything but a healer. I don't understand this person's situation. I will pray for them and pray for them and pray for them. I want to do that. And I'm not going to judge them if they don't receive a healing. I'm just going to continue praying. But for me, I've experienced so many times where he has come and healed something in my body. And I don't get it. Why me? Why are you doing this, God? Why do I get a healing every time I pray over something in my back, my arms, whatever doesn't work? Some of you remember the testimony I gave of I went golfing. You wouldn't think you'd get too painful over golfing. But I became overcome by the heat, I guess. So I got home, I'm walking in the upstairs hallway, and I just, bonk, fall over. And I'm out. And Pastor Mary Pat wasn't in the house, but she came very quickly after that, and Andy was with her. And they find me in the upstairs hallway, and I am out like a light. Out. And Andy yells in my ear, "Wake up! Jesus is healing you! Wake up, mister!" Or whatever he said, you know. I didn't know because I was out. But he said something like that. And then I finally could hear him. And I'm like, why is Andy yelling at me? And I come to and he's like, hey, man, he kind of helps me, you know, get seated. And you were out. I was, what? You were out. And finally get my orientation. And Pastor Mary Pat's like praying everything she can over me and everything. And they felt so confident that I was okay after a while. They had to go and leave and do something. I forget what it was. So I was at home alone. Home alone after being out in the dark of the blackness. And they left me alone. And so I thought, this has been quite the day. I've been golfing. I'm tired from the golf, but apparently I was out for a while. Who knows how long? A guy yells in my ear, and they leave me now. They can't even deal with me. I think it's time for a bath. So I draw a bath. I'm in the bathtub. I'm like, oh, yeah. Got one of those garden tubs. You know, we don't have the jets or any of that. Just a garden tub. So I'm just, yeah, I love the heat. Oh, feels good. And then something starts fluttering in my heart. I've talked to Steve since then, and he says that happens a lot to guys our general age. He's much younger than me, but. That we get these flutters in our hearts. And it's what we do with it that makes all the difference. Well, I wish Steve would have been around because I didn't have that conversation with him. And I was in the tub. And I felt these flutters. And the enemy came and he says, you're going to die in this tub. You're going to die right here. There's nobody that's going to help you. And you're dying today in this tub. Now, I had a choice, and I started to give in to the fear, but I learned a while ago, you got to choke the fear. You don't just go, gee, I think I'm getting fearful. You choke it. You choke it with the truth. And the truth is, God doesn't want me to die in the bathtub, because Andy's going to come up there and yell in my ear. He's going to see things he shouldn't see. Not going to be good. So, I need to choke fear. So I went after that fear that started to rise up. and I choked it out. And I told the enemy out loud, weird, I'm talking in a bathroom that no one's in, I am not going to die in this bathtub today. I'm getting out of this bathtub right now. I'm not even going to wait. I'm not going to soak here another minute. I'm getting out right now, and I am not going to die. And I got out of the bathtub. I didn't die, and I see, I told you, I'm not dying today. This isn't my day, and I'm not dying. And you know what happened? The enemy did just what the Bible said. He didn't have any more to say. He left. Now, did I do that under my own power and conviction and what I know and all that? No, I inside it was like, help me, God, help me. I'm starting to feel fearful here. Okay, I didn't do that in Pastor Bill, you know, power. I learned from Pastor Mary Pat a long time ago, you don't go on your own power. You go after as much of the Holy Spirit power as you can have in order to deal with life, anything like that. So Pastor Mary Pat gets home, and I tell her about all this, and she says, oh, I guess I shouldn't have left you. Well, we'll talk about that another time, but let me tell you what happened. It really was good. The enemy couldn't stand up to the choking out of fear, and I had to call on him. And it was an encounter with God, you see? An encounter with God when you're at your weakest. I'm crying out to him like I talked about last week. Crying out to God. And he encounters me, gives me the ability to speak strong with the enemy. I think we should have these encounters a lot. They're going to help with a lot of things in life. Many of you know that when we were about ready to purchase this building and land in a primo spot in Jackson Township, we didn't have the money completely. But the Lord said, the committee is going to give you a deadline. He speaks this to me in my spirit. I'm like, okay. The committee is going to give you a deadline. They're not going to wait any longer. We had about 60% of what we needed to purchase this land and building. Okay. So what do I do about that? Tell them. I love deadlines. Now, this is an encounter with God that you wish he would give somebody else. You go tell somebody else that. Pastor Mary Pat's used to saying kooky things. Let her say that. Why do I have to be the one to tell the committee, God loves deadlines, and not even know what the deadline is? Say it before they give you the deadline. So the committee meets, and they start out, and they say, well, you know, it's been quite a while that you've been using the building or renting the building, and so... I mean, we've offered that you buy the building by becoming brethren. And then you don't have to buy the building. And you said the Holy Spirit led you. No, it wasn't quite what the Holy Spirit had in mind, and we accept that. But it's really time that, you know, you either buy the building or we seek out other options. And here's my moment. And I'm like feeling like Gideon behind the wine press. You know, my knees are inside. Pastor Mary Pat doesn't like me to tell you that kind of thing, but I go ahead and tell you anyway. She doesn't like this, I don't think. And I'm feeling weak. How about that? I'm feeling like I can't let this come out of my mouth. But I feel the Holy Spirit inside just kind of push it out of my mouth. God loves deadlines. And they looked at me like some of you are looking at me. Whoa. Okay. God loves deadlines. And you've never said anything like this before. You've always said, well, you know, give us a little more time or whatever, and we didn't give you a deadline. We give you a deadline, and you say, God loves deadlines? You don't even know what the deadline is. God loves deadlines. So they gave us a deadline of 2 months. It was June 2012. And they gave us the deadline of August 2012, the end of August 2012. And I said, no problem. But we had 2 mission trips that summer that we had to pay for. And he added the kicker, and start to remodel, the Lord said. I didn't tell them that. I just told them God loves deadlines. So they said, great. Well, wow, you took this really well. And I didn't mention the fact we had 2 mission trips coming up in those 2 months, plus raise the rest of the money for the building. Plus, they didn't know, start to remodel. Because I don't know if you remember, but this place used to have the orangest fire carpet and orangest pews, wooden pews. Orange and orange and orange and orange and orange. We liked it because it reminded us every time we walked in here, fire, fire, fire. I even had one person said, I sure miss that orange carpet. I said, one person. I think it was they had some up close and personal with that carpet. Maybe left some tears or some snot on that carpet, so they were endeared to that carpet. I would have cut that square out for them if they could have told me where it was and presented it to them on a plaque. And so the money came in early. It came in 2 weeks early. I don't know where it came in from. We are not that great at promotion. And it just came in. And we started to remodel. And by relentless pursuit, we had the remodel done, except we had a little problem with the overflow of, how many remember that? The overflow of the baptismal. We had a little bit of problem with that. So we had to fix that during Relentless Pursuit, I think. We weren't quite done during Relentless Pursuit, if I remember right. But that all came from an encounter and speaking out what he gave me in the encounter. And he'll do that for you. Some of you have had those. So I have some others that I'd like to go through. But I think I'd rather have someone, if they feel like they want to, it reminded you of an encounter, that you could come up and briefly share with us an encounter you had. Because I don't want this to be all about my encounters. I want this to be about our encounters. So, some of you have had encounters. Don't wait for someone else to come up and tell us about it. Come on up. Take the microphone and be filled with the Holy Spirit to share. Who has that? Thank you.
That first person. Who is that?
I feel like I'm in Africa. The first one. Aha, here's a courageous, this is what we say in Africa. Here comes a courageous woman. Here she is. She's shown you the way. Now follow her good example. See?
Wouldn't that be fun to hear?
Oh, my goodness. The other night, Paul came to me, and he said he's seen something cross the bottom of his bed. And it was like a dark ball. And it scared him out of his mind, like literally. He come tearing through my house downstairs. And was like, Mom, I'm not going back to bed. I'm like, boy, you're going back to bed. I said, you cannot keep letting fear get you like that. I said, it's probably just a mouse or something. But he said, no, Mom, this thing is not a mouse. I said, did you pray? He's like, I prayed, but I'm still afraid. I said, you got to believe what you pray. And I didn't necessarily take the time to pray with him, but as he was going back to bed, I prayed that he would not be fearful anymore. About 5 minutes later, he comes back and he's like, "Mom, I'm not afraid no more." I'm like, "Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Lord." Because I didn't know what else to really say to him other than what I said to him. And then I turned and looked at my fiance. I was like, "Was that kind of cruel to just tell him that he needs to believe in what he prays?" And he was like, "No, you're right." But it was like a mom thing, I guess. I felt like I was mean at that moment, but it was what I felt I needed to say, and it was given to me to say.
Awesome. And no one claps here anymore. Okay. Sweet. Good start. She's made it easy for you. Now you can come and tell and give God glory. Give God glory. That's what we do in Africa. Why not here? Who's next? Doesn't take much courage. We're all friendly. She's making it easy for you.
Friday night, I went to visit my friend, and I'm trying to learn to push forward, and I've been praying kind of privately myself, "God, you got to start helping me learn to speak out." And I was at my friend's house, and I hadn't seen her in a while, and I've been wanting to talk to her, and just different things came up, and things were coming out of my mouth that I would normally, like, shut up. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she said, "You said that?" And I'm like, "I guess." So I wanted to go fishing so bad. I haven't been fishing in years. And there's a thing on third Saturday of every month. It's called Praise and Eats in Downton. And a friend of ours, like Chris and Steve, got me started there. And it's like, I love it. And she says, "We're going to go fishing. You want to go with us?" And I looked at her, I says, "Yeah, I'd love to go." And then it just came out of my mouth. I turned around and I said, "You know what? No, I got to go to church." She says, "Huh?" I says, "No, I'm going to praise the needs. I got to go praise my Lord. Maybe another night."
Wow, there you go. And of course, we clap here, yeah. Appreciation. Awesome. Good job on the clapping. Okay. Encounter. Encounter. When have you heard from the Lord? How's he led you? He's making it easy for you. This is our first courageous man.
Well, this brought up an encounter I had years ago. It was actually before a Mozambique trip that actually Josh and Mike and I were all on. And the encounter I had was, I think, right about somewhere back in there. I was on the floor, and in between some orange pews, I think they were orange then, and I just saw this vision of our team just in crowns and capes, and we had scepters in our hands, and we were just walking, and actually, Mike and Josh was leading, and I don't know, I just have a real picture of Mike. He's not in here right now. I don't think, is he somewhere? But anyway, and every, like, people were just surrounded by us in this vision, and it was pretty, and it seemed like every person we touched was saved and healed. Well, that year, I had no idea, but that, and at this point in time when I had that vision, I had no idea who was going to be on my team during, in my squad or whatever, during that trip. But Josh and Mike and I went out, we were on a team together, and it seemed like every we actually went out from in the villages from house to house, and it just, everybody we prayed for at that point got healed. Like some women were getting healed of back pains. I remember just lots of healings during that trip. So that was
awesome. Of course, we've had some pretty amazing visions that have been given corporately over the years. You'll remember Pastor Mary Pat's circle vision. Those on the outside of the fire, on the outskirts of the fire, and those close into the fire, and that whole circle vision that she's had written up. She also, one was given to her by her sister about various flames. She's holding up a flame, or myself and her are holding up a flame, and there are a lot of people with flames around joining theirs to ours and reaching the nations and different things with that. Probably more extensive than what I'm sharing, but there was the boat, the ship vision not too long ago that I gave about the all hands on deck, that the ship is about ready to go into deeper waters, go into farther places in the nations, and that some are in dinghies and they're bumping into one another because they just don't want to get on the main ship of what God is doing. And in this fellowship, it was specific to this fellowship, could go across the body of Christ, but it's was specific for this fellowship, and the people in the dinghy were running into each other thinking, well, at least I'm in charge. I'm the captain of my own little dinghy, my own little kayak. And they bumped into each other. They were not going out into the deeper waters, and the ship was about ready to leave. We said Jesus was the admiral, and Pastor Mary Pat and I were the captains, but we listen to the admiral, so don't be afraid of that we're the captains, because we have to listen to the admiral, and that he's going to take us into deeper waters and deeper places and so on. And that's not necessarily all about the nations. It could be the deeper waters of suffering. Could be some of that mixed in there as well. And so a number of people came and shared how they felt about that particular vision on that occasion. If you remember, they came up and shared on that. And it was a point of challenge for all of us to be all hands on deck. But specifically, God was giving that to me, making sure that, okay, just because you're in this position as captain, you need to listen to me. You have to listen to me. You have to hear from me. And so since that vision, I've been challenged to make sure I'm accurately hearing him. And Pastor Mary Pat and I are always in discussion about where is frontline going? What's happening with various people in frontline? How can we help them if they want to be part of being on the ship? Let them know how they can help with all hands on deck and so on, and not be in their own little dinghy and just kind of bumping, going nowhere. And that's a hard thing, isn't it? Because you can't just come up to somebody and say, hey, you're not on a ship, you're in a dinghy. You're kind of in a dinghy there, you're in a kayak, you're going nowhere. You have to have wisdom as to how to get that across. You know, being in a kayak because you're in offense, you're in bitterness, that's not a good place to be. You might be the captain of your own little kayak, but you're going to run aground or run into other people all the time, and it's not going to have you go forward with the ship that's going to the nations. Okay, I made it easy for you. I gave you some time to think.
Well, this actually, my first encounter with the Lord was actually before I met you all. And I don't know, some of you might know this story probably, but I was driving home from Holmes County, and it was close to Mercy Hospital. It was snowing and blowing like crazy. I was on the 77, and all of a sudden, this semi was in front of me. The head was right here, and I didn't know how fast I was going or anything, and I was extremely tired, and the next thing I knew, I just said, God, help me, and the next thing I knew, I was like two car lengths stopped in front of that semi, and I was just very blessed that I didn't hit that semi. And I, when I got the courage to go around, I was like, what? There was two flashing cop cars on the other side that I never saw. And I was just like, how did I do that? Like, it was definitely the Lord that stopped my vehicle. It was pretty awesome. And then I've had more encounters with you guys too that the one that I remember the most was an alignment. A young adult conference. I don't know how long ago that was, but Pastor Mary Pat was praying for me, and I was like, it was my first encounter that I fell back in the spirit, and I was like, no way, I'm not doing this. And next thing I know, I'm on the floor, and the Lord showed me a promise ring, like a ring that He was gonna heal me, which I hasn't totally happened yet, but like it's a process, so I'm thankful for that.
Awesome. Young adult conferences. We're planning on having one later in the fall. That was a plug. I paid her. No. Some of us believe in angels because of driving. Because of the things that happen on the roads. And I know they help us in those situations. I just know they do. I was in a head-on collision in 1974. Spring of 1974. Not a head-on collision, I shouldn't say that. The people in front of me were in a head-on collision, and it threw the back of a car in front of me, and I tried to avoid the back of that car and hit the back of that car. I didn't have a seatbelt on. My car was totaled, but all that happened to me was I went like this, and I went back. I didn't hit the steering wheel. I didn't, you know, get thrown into the windshield, none of that. But I came to an awfully quick stop when I hit that car. The back of that car was coming my direction, and I'm going maybe 40, 45 miles an hour this direction. I came to a very quick stop, but I didn't follow the laws of physics. And I didn't think about that at that time. I just thought, wow, I'm glad I'm not hurt. And my mom was in a truck driving behind me. She didn't see it, but she came upon the accident, saw it was my car, and she jumped out of the truck before it stopped moving. And that was amazing that she didn't get hurt. But I know since then, I have thought about it, an angel just, he must have. There's no other explanation why I wouldn't follow the laws of physics and smash into that steering wheel or into the windshield. I mean, I'm slight. I was slighter then of build. I should have just flown like a little stone into that window. And it didn't happen. So you look like you're anxious. I thought you were. Well, you were leaning.
That's for physical reasons too, but I'm like, do I go up or do I? And I always talk, you know, but there were a couple, I think my eyes were getting brighter and brighter because I was thinking about things. Only he can see that because he's up here. But what year is it? It's 2018. So there are just three, and I'll make it real short, but that are sort of significant because back in 2013, before we had our first miscarriage, or we were pregnant for the first time, and then ended in a miscarriage, which is still life, you know, in heaven. And but prior to all that, a lot of things unfolding over the last 5 years, my husband, Mike, saw Jesus's face in the sky. And the thing that the Lord spoke, it was, you'll have to ask him later about it. He'd love to tell you, but because I didn't have it, he did. But it was very amazing, obviously, for him and for us, I guess, for our family. And one of the things the Lord spoke to him is very clear. It was nighttime, and I think the skies and the way the moon hit everything, you just saw the Lord's face. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm taking you to new levels of faith. And so sometimes you hear these long, elaborate things from the Lord in your personal times with him or secret times, and then sometimes there's things that are, like, really short, and just going to put that there for you. And so those are usually the profound things that end up, what I've noticed in our lives is that they've held us for the next couple of years, where they've been very, very profound things. And so anyways, I was just thinking that it's been 5 years, and I love biblical numbers, and I love what they mean. I don't know enough about them. I probably should, but the number five, you know, representing the number of grace, and this year being 2018, there was another vision I was thinking of, too, during the week that Mary Teresa, my mother-in-law, I'll go back to the 2013 thing, but in 2016, which was 3 years later, creation being the number for, like, creation and, you know, obviously divinity with the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, lots of cool things with the number three, completion. But the week that she got her transplant, because she needed a new liver, she was dying. And I remember seeing a vision of a time of worship, actually, at this specific time. And I saw a key going into a chest and locking things, and just for breakthrough. And it was one of those days, too, where I felt like, am I saved? It was one of those hard days where you're getting through and you're just facing things emotionally more so. And like he said, those are the more trying things to get through, emotional, mental things. And just remember seeing this key opening a chest or whatever, and it was just had to do with breakthrough. So my heart was just praying out for things in our own body. And then a couple days later, the first thing I thought of when Mike called me that his mom was getting a transplant and that she was going to be prepped for surgery went right back to that vision that I had of that breakthrough, and just really cool personal thing. But fast forward now, so we're in 2018, and the reason I share this one is just to prophesy over the next 2.5 weeks before my baby arrives. Been through a lot, but just recently when I was in Brazil, there was a day where I, you know, when you go to Brazil when you're pregnant in your first trimester, you're like, am I hearing from you, Lord, you know? But he gave lots of amazing confirmations, and I did hear, and there was a lot of cool things the Lord showed us, Mike and I and other people that were praying with us. So I was so glad and so grateful to be there. But there was one day where it was, those questions came and the wondering came, and the enemy, the accuser who likes to just stir up those things to discourage us. And I thankfully know the difference of the two voices. So I think it was, thankfully, being in that place, it wasn't of really truly questioning. It was just the enemy wanting to mess with me. I'm here on a mission. I'm here for souls and my little ones with me, and God, you've got my back, you know. But it was just like, oh, what are you saying, Jesus? And I remember him speaking. I didn't know it was going to be a girl yet, and we didn't know it was going to be a girl. And I just remember laying there, you know, not fully comfortable, and the Lord just began to speak and prophetic things about our daughter. I didn't know she was going to be a girl, but saying that, you know, the mark of her life is going to be faith and courage. And then the next morning, having an encounter with the Lord that totally freshened me, like, refreshed me, and physically feeling better after that trip and receiving more and abundantly that I should have when it's hot and you're different, you're eating the same thing every day, and as a pregnant woman, when you're wanting Cheerios and milk, it's like you don't get to have that, you know? But the Lord sustaining through that, you know, was a cool, but just those encounter, that encounter right in that moment that I didn't expect God to just speak. He just decided, no, I'm actually going to speak about your daughter that's going to be born, you know, in 7-8 months. And then we find out later that she's a girl, and we name her Faith, you know, on top of that. And so just the little encounters having had with the Lord and Mike with the seeing the face of Jesus have just held us together. I cherish those encounters, whether it's driving or you're walking out in the middle, you know, you're not necessarily laying down, resting, or you are, but holding on to those things and always reminding yourself of them and going back and saying, this is what you said. You know, and I don't know if this hopefully this encourages you, but at the beginning of the year, I think it's still a now word for us, but Lawrence speaking out the very first mission training weekend, watch what he does. And there we've seen God do things even just with words that are given. He had an encounter, Lawrence. This is Lawrence's encounter, not mine, not the team's. He was in the middle of the night driving his SUV around somewhere, and he had donuts once again, and it was an encounter with the Lord in worship and in rest and whatever that looked like for him, and he hears, you know, one of the singers say, watch what he does, and it's actually held our family. We've reminded ourselves of those things. We prayed things out, and we've actually seen breakthrough, because go back to that word. Go back to that simple word, watch what he does. Just some things that came to my mind in the last few years. So,
some of you might see. I don't even have to ask anymore. It's just awesome. Some of you might remember Cynthia and Lawrence's wife. Quite a long time ago now, had a word, unsubmitted opinions, and that is. That has come back to challenge us many times in this body, that we need to submit our opinions to the Lord, let him purify them before we start just and with, you know, Facebook and Twitter and all that, and our own president, we might be able to take an example of, you know, just being careful of letting all of our opinions fly rather than putting them through the grid of Holy Spirit because we need to submit them, not have unsubmitted opinions. Yes. I can deliver. Second time I deliver.
Well, thanks. Paul's not out here, but this one's for him. There's actually two. There was a time when he had a really bad infections in his eyes, and he was very hard-headed and wouldn't let me put the eye drops in his eyes. So the one night, I just prayed. I'm like, look, Lord, I'm tired of fighting this boy. Can you please just heal him? The next morning, he woke up, his eyes were fine. And then the other one, he came to me when we lived in the southeast side. And he said that there were demons in our house. And it was the truth. Because they got to me and that I was very mean and bitter and hostile when I lived over there. And my life just wasn't right at all. But he said to me, Mom, they're attacking you. And he told me the vision that he had of angels in his room. He called them fairies, but angels in his room. And they were fighting the demons to keep them off of Paul. And he said, Mommy, they're hurting you. And I'll never, ever forget. After that conversation, I had walked into the hallway, and he was talking to this thing. There was, from what I seen, there was nothing there. But he said, I said, Paul, what are you talking to? And he said, I don't know, but it's telling me to do bad things and telling me to hurt you. And I instantly started praying. That's the only thing I could think to do. I was scared. I'm not going to lie. I was scared out of my mind. And as I'm praying, I'm just, like, pouring myself out. And, Lord, like, please protect my kid from whatever this is. Please protect my household from whatever this is. And as I was praying, this ball, like an orb of red fire, shot out of his bedroom window. And, like, just an overwhelming relief came over me and my entire household. And I had other moments, too, where there were things in the house that were just evil. We had a dark-hooded figure that would walk around, and he would just, like, walk out, looking out the windows and stuff. And I prayed over him and got rid of him. So it's been a lot. And there were times that I did cleaning, too. I know this is irrelevant to Paul's situation, but I cleaned Select and Mercy Hospital for a little bit. And there were two people that stick out in my mind that I just prayed over. The one, he could no longer walk. And he was just miserable, and he took himself off of life support. And I prayed for him. I'm like, Lord, please, if it's meant to be, don't let this man go. He was a sweetheart. And I came in the next day, and he was talking, breathing on his own. And then the other guy, I walked into his room, and his family was in there. And there was a lot going on in the family. The patient's brother had just died, but the family was afraid to tell him because he was sick too. And then his son was very suicidal, so I prayed over his son and the patient in the room. The patient himself, he had bleeding in his bag of urine. So I just prayed and begged God. I'm like, Lord, please don't let this man go either. His family loves him to death. And I pray that he has understanding over his brother when they finally do tell him. And I didn't see him for about a week. And then when I came back in, he was at the other end of the hall. They switched his rooms. And his bag of urine was fine. And it was back to the normal color it should be. And he spoke to me. And, like, I'm talking to you guys. And I turned around and looked at him. And I was like, I just cried. I couldn't hold my tears back. I just bawled. And I said, you just spoke to me. I said, you were so sick that you couldn't even speak. You were just in, like, this whole other world of babble. And the doctor walked in the room, and he's like, I don't know how you did it. And I turned to the doctor, and I said, Jesus did it. God healed him.
Okay, real life.
A lot of things covered there. These things really happen. Here, demonic influence and so on in our community. We're going to need encounters. We're going to need his presence to win for other people. If it's not for us, we don't have these things happening to us. We need to be able to help others. And so we're going to have to be close to Jesus to do it. We can't just do it with some kind of a game plan or, oh, I'll just follow these steps. We've got to know him. And that's all I'm calling us to again is a refreshing of that, the encounters with him, revisiting the intimacy with him. It's one thing to have a quiet time, but it's another thing to be quiet and hear from God.
letting our spirit be quiet, whether we're in a car, whether we're walking, you know, in the store, in a park, we can hear from him. Maybe it's a special soaking time. Maybe it's a soaking time that we set up that will be regular. Maybe we'll soak together corporately. But we're going to need to hear from him more, have these encounters. And he offers them to us. He says that we will have these supernatural experiences. Joel 2, Acts 2, they're happening now, and they will increase, as we've said here before. They will increase in the last days. That's what's going to get us prepared to battle everything that we're going to need to battle in the last days. So why not have a refreshing of that in our own hearts and spirits? So Beth's going to just put on some soaking here to finish, and you're free to go at any time. You can go immediately. We always spend enough time for these testimonies and so on. But if you want to stay and soak for a season, we'll leave the music on for quite a while. And you can just encounter the Lord right where you're at. Or, of course, we have all this lovely, sorry it's not orange carpet up here, that you can leave some tears or snot or whatever, and we'll clean up after you. But you can soak right where you're at, or come go to a special place here where you can get alone with the Lord. And don't worry about it. If you have to leave, that's fine as well. But we want to bless you today. Jesus, we thank you, God, that you're so good to us to give us close encounters with you of a spiritual kind, Lord. We don't want the encounters that the world has, Father, with rock stars and sports stars. We want an encounter with the star, and it's you, Lord. You're the hero that we want, God. You're the hero, Jesus. We love being with you. We need to act on that love for you. We need to take the time. We need to be still and know that you're God. Or as in Psalm 4:4, it says, be angry and do not sin. Meditate with your heart on your bed and be still. Selah. Be angry. In other words, many of us are going to be stirred up in our emotions, and it keeps us from meeting with God. But he wants us to meditate within your heart, on your bed, in a quiet place. And he wants us to be still before him, to receive from him. He's offering. He's saying, come, come to me. Come to me. You're burdened, you're heavy laden, and I am the one that can give you rest. I would love to give you rest. Let me give you rest. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. That's not the sand that's just in one little yard. It's the sand over all the seashores and all the land. In the entire world, he has that many thoughts and more of us. They're more than that. More in number, it says. When I awake, I am still with you. We want to be aware of his presence. When we wake up, when we lie down, he's before us, he's behind us, he's with us, he's in us. He surrounds us with his love and his strong tower. He's constantly wanting to spend time with us. How often do we take up his invitation? Of course, we're all guilty. That's not the point. It's not to lay a guilt trip today. It's to say, go ahead. Allow yourself to step in to the invitation. It's still there. No matter what your performance has been in the past, his invitation is still there. Come to me. Be still and know that I am God. You will know me. You will encounter me. You will have such intimacy with me. You will know you're loved. And you will love others because of the time with me in a whole new way. What comes out of your mouth will be guarded because of time with me. What comes out of your heart will be guarded
because of time with me. What comes out of your life will be in freedom because of time with me. Jesus, we thank you for that. You're so willing to draw near to us. You were upset with Jerusalem that they were not drawing near. She does not draw near to her God, you said of Jerusalem. Lord, it was a disappointment to you. It was a heartache to you that they wouldn't draw near with your offer. It says in Hebrews, draw near to God with a sincere heart. It says it'll be a better hope and a better covenant. Lord, we want to draw near with a sincere heart, not just because a speaker says draw near, not just because the word says draw near, but because we want to, we desire to draw near in response to the speaker of the moment or your scriptures that stand true forever. We want to. We desire it, God. Build up that desire inside of us. It says in the word that you will even give us the desire of our hearts. That means you'll give us desire for you. We love that, God. We love that, God. There is no rest apart from the presence of God. There is true rest only in his presence. There is no better rest than fullness of joy. Jesus. Jesus. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forever. Pleasures. The pleasure of being in your presence. The pleasure of encountering you, God. Here I am, your little child. I stand before you with a childlike heart, not a childish heart, a childlike heart, reaching out for your hand, reaching out for your heart, wanting to know you, wanting to draw into you, wanting to worship you, adore you, honor you for who you are, God. Refresh that in me. Refresh that in me, God. Take out the complaining. Take out the grumbling. Refresh the worship inside my heart. Jesus, Jesus, we cry out to you as we talked about last week. We cry out to you, Father. We cry out on behalf of these children that sometimes, God, they have to wrestle with powers from another world, God, evil, God, and we can pray over them, pray into them, help them pray, help them kick the enemy in the teeth, Lord. They are precious treasure that we want to help them battle and fight against the enemy trying to grab them early. He killed so many at the birth of Jesus. So many were killed. He killed so many at the birth of Moses. God, let us not be foolish. We need to pray life into these little ones, God, that the enemy doesn't take anyone out early, doesn't take anyone out to getting them distracted away from the love for the presence of God. We can teach them while they're young, Lord. Use us, God. Don't just have us encounter you. Have us take it to the nations. Have us take it to our neighborhoods. Have us take it to our friends. Have us take it to our enemies, God. Encountering you means action after that. Intimacy with you means we can minister in freedom. Thank you, God. Do it inside of our hearts. Do it inside of our lives. Because you love us. We know you're willing. Have us draw near, and you will draw near to us. Thank you, Jesus. We lovingly soak in your presence, God. Such a privilege. Such a privilege. We don't take enough time. We don't take a break. We don't stop. We're not still, Lord. But here we are right now. We're entering in. We're drawing in. Speak to us. Give us dreams and pictures and words. Yes, Lord, even smells from the throne room. Encounter us, God, in Jesus' name.